Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the NBA is starting to roll out the way that they're going to start honoring Kobe. And I got to say, I would have loved to seen Kobe's face when he saw the details of how they'd be doing it.
Yeah, I'm not caught up on it, so maybe you could fill me in.
Well, so if the first segment here, we're going to go over the new NBA All-Star Game format. And you know, a lot of it, I guess, was designed with Kobe in mind. We also have a rumor from Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer that we are going to go over. We got some more details about the negotiations between the Lakers and Kings. And then we'll see wherever that we got. We also got a preview, the Lakers being back in action Friday or tomorrow or tonight. By the time you guys are listening to this, they are going to be taking on Portland at home. So the scene there will be pretty, I would imagine, pretty emotional. Pete hasn't seen the details of the All-Star Game format. I texted it to him, and he was going to look them over. But I thought it would be funnier because I think I know how you're going to take these things. I thought it'd be funnier if I read them to you and got your live reaction. So are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So first and foremost, this is kind of cool. Both the NBA All-Star teams will play for Chicago-based community organizations as selected by team captains Giannis and LeBron. The teams will compete to win each of the first three quarters, all of which will start with a score of 0-0 and be 12 minutes long.
Okay.
God, I wish you guys could see Pete's face. All right. At the start of the fourth quarter, the game clock will be turned off and a final target score will be set. The final target score will be determined by taking the leading team's cumulative score through three quarters and adding 24 points, the 24 representing the late Kobe Bryant's uniform number. Once the final target score is set, the teams will play an untimed fourth quarter, and the first team to reach the final target score will win the NBA All-Star Game.
What the fuck?
Don't worry, Pete. They explained with an example. If the cumulative score of the first three quarters is 100-95, the final target score will be set at 124 points. To win the NBA All-Star Game, the team with 100 points would have to score 24 more points in the fourth quarter before the team with 95 points scores 29 points, and vice versa.
Wow.
Was just renaming the trophy, like, was that too easy? Was that, like, I feel like this was brought upon by some PR guru, right? Who was just like, guys, I have this great idea. Walks into the office, blows.
Like, there is no elevator pitch for that.
And like I said, I wish I could, like, we could see Kobe's face when somebody's explaining this to him. When he saw that, like, this is how you guys are honoring. I guess you guys hated me.
Yeah, that's bizarre. That's just super bizarre.
So I kind of understand where they were coming from on this, right? Is that the idea is the All-Star Game hasn't been competitive enough from start to finish. So if you kind of break it up into three different games and have something on the line, and by the way, each community organization that, like, the team that wins the quarter wins $300,000 for, or no, will receive $100,000 for each quarter. Right, for a total of 300,000, and then in the final quarter, the team that wins overall, that team captain's charity will win 200 grand for that fourth quarter. So all in all, $500,000 could be going to charity or will be going to charity. That I can get behind completely.
Cool,
but I think they're kind of trying to solve problems that don't really exist without actually getting to the root of the quote-unquote problem. Like, nobody watches the All-Star Game for competition until, like, the last 5 minutes. Right? Like,
right. I mean, that's and the All-Star Games have gotten progressively less competitive as the years have gone by.
Yeah. And you know, I kind of understand. All right, so they're trying to break them up into three or, basically four different games which means that like you avoid a blowout and kind of sort of, at least in theory, that fourth quarter, you get to the last 5 minutes or so when the teams are playing to meet that target score, then the game gets more competitive just inherently because you kind of avoid a blowout, right? What you don't want in an all-star game is for one team to blow out the other, because then the game never matters. And it's just, you know, a dunk fest or a three-point fest from start to finish. So I kind of understand where they were going with this, but it's also the kind of thing you come up with if you've never seen, played, or seen Kobe play.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they have. I mean, there will be plenty of more meaningful ways to honor him amongst the players and whatnot. But yeah, that's just super bizarre. Like, the charity stuff's great. But just the format of how they're going about doing it to end with like 24 points from the leader's score. Yeah, that's just super weird.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And like, the problem with this is that it's so stupid that this way that they're honoring Kobe is not going to, like, it's not going to carry over to next year. Like, this is going to go away. There's no way this is going to become the new normal for All-Star games. And so they're basically saying, all right, so we're going to honor Kobe one time with this game, and then we're going to move on. Now, according to the league sources, when this stuff was first announced, they basically said that there are going to be more ways that they're going to be honoring Kobe. So that, like, at least in theory, they might still rename the All-Star Game MVP trophy after Kobe. Right, it's not off the table at this point, but this All-Star Game format is just so. I likened it. Did you ever watch Whose Line Is It Anyway? You know how Drew Carey starts every game is like, "Welcome to the game where everything is made up and the points don't matter." Like, that's like the 2020 All-Star Game. You know, that's kind of the feeling that I got from reading these rules. I hope somebody gets in Adam Silver's ear and gets them to rethink this stuff, because it's pretty dumb. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk. We'll segue over to the rumor that Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer put forth today regarding the Lakers and Kings and their negotiations for Kuzma, Nemanja Bjelica, and Bogdan Bogdanović. Today's show is brought to you in part by MyBookie. Head on over to MyBookie.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match half of your initial deposit. You can go up to $2,000 that you deposit in, and they will give you back $1,000. Pete, how many things can you do that guarantee you that return on investment?
Very few.
Not very many. Today, we are going to preview today's MyBookie pick of the day. Is going to be between the Portland Trailblazers and Lakers playing in Staples Center. The Lakers, as I'm reading this right now, are 12.5-point favorites to beat the Trailblazers. Which way are you leaning on this one?
Wow. Considering everything that's happened, I'm going to take Lakers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's actually because of everything that's gone on that I would probably take Portland. Stuff like a lot of guys' heads aren't going to be in it. Portland's already played a game since this stuff has kind of taken place. I think the Lakers win, but I don't know if they cover 12.5 points.
Yeah, you might very well be right. It's hard to, you know, always tell what, you know, how people react to those types of emotions.
Yeah.
But I think there's going to be a very spirited performance by the Lakers.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope so. It's why I'm going to be staying away. I'm not going to bet on this game. I feel kind of heartless. Like, if you bet against the Lakers on this, you're kind of profiting off of the sorrow and the anguish that players will be playing that game with. So I'm going to stay away from it. I think it's too volatile a game. But if that is something that you're interested in doing, head on over to mybookie.ag, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and they will match half of your deposit. That's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. So I'm reading here from theringer.com, a good website, as Mallory Rubin and Jason Concepcion say in the binge mode all the time. Sacramento. Eh. What's that?
You heard me.
Oh, man. Never change, Pete. All right, so I'm reading directly. Kevin writes, Sacramento doesn't need to trade Bogdanovich. And he's talking about, like, that teams that are interested or thinking about trading for Bogdanovich should meet Sacramento's fairly high asking price because he's a really good player. But Sacramento doesn't need to trade Bogdanovich, and it has declined some offers already. The Kings offered Nemanja Bjelica and a pick to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, and then Los Angeles countered by asking for Bogdanovich, according to multiple sources, league sources. Sacramento refused, but Bogdanovich will be a restricted free agent this summer, and any offer sheet in the $15 to $25 million range would be problematic for the Kings to match. Heald and Harrison Barnes just got Buddy Heald and Harrison Barnes just got paid, and De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley are due new contracts in 2021 and 2022, respectively. Unless the Kings decide it's in their best interest to commit roughly $75 million to Fox, Heald, Bogdanovich, and Bogdanovich starting in 2021, trading one of Heald or Bogdanovich for a larger wing or a big man would make sense. What do you think? I mean, analyzing the Kings' cap situation aside, which, like, they just screwed themselves over by paying Harrison Barnes all that money. But that aspect of it aside, your thoughts on Bjelica and a pick for Kyle Kuzma?
This is something, like, there are two components to this. There's the basketball component and then the human component. Like,
yeah,
the Lakers are a family business. We've benefited from that. We've bemoaned that in some of their hiring practices, but they are a family through and through. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't have to remind everyone what just happened.
Yeah.
If you think we're trading like one of the, like a kid that Kobe sat down and spent his time with and looked to mentor and is outside of the relationship with Kobe, embraced as a member of the Lakers family, even if he's a young one, for freaking Nemanja Bjelica, it is a gross misunderstanding of people.
Yeah.
Like, no, we should not do that. It is not enough of an upgrade to justify the human component of it. Bjelica's perfectly fine. I know a lot of people would do that trade, even especially with a pick involved, would do that trade even outside of these circumstances. But I'm not sure that I would, and it's definitely not going to happen. Like, the Lakers, like, are they going to be able to make a trade, Anthony? Like, I think they can add Collison maybe, mm-hmm. but if you're talking about something that's sending out 3-4 dudes, which if Kuzma's involved, you'd have to get anything respectable back because of what he makes salary wise. Are we trading a third or a quarter of this roster right now? Come on.
No, I mean, that's kind of where we've been all year long when the talk of trades comes up, right? When any kind of rumor comes up. Look, the problem is but partially because of the stuff that you're talking about, like in terms of Kuzma's value to the franchise, what he kind of sort of represents, right? Because, you know, like people from the Lakers and people closely tied to the Lakers have no problem whatsoever saying that Kuzma has Mamba mentality. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that they've said even before Kobe's passing. That's something that has been always closely tied to him. Mm-hmm. With that being said, Kuzma's value was always going to be a lot higher than his actual league value. Mm-hmm. Like that's always been at the center of why it's going to be difficult for the Lakers to trade Kuzma, because they think he is a 10 out of 10 value-wise, or like a 9 or an 8 out of 10. And the league, based on this offer, like Bjelica is a fine player. He would kind of sort of help the Lakers, but he doesn't really solve any of the Lakers' actual problems. He's not a wing defender, and he's not a creator on the ball. So like Bjelica is okay, but he doesn't really do anything for you. He doesn't really move the meter. But if this is kind of sort of the league-wide value that the league perceives Kuzma's at, then no deal is going to be made. Like, that's just, it's just not, that's not going to happen.
I wouldn't take a single Sacramento Kings offer as evidence of what his league-wide value. I mean, there's been rumors for him for Robert Covington, who's a pretty good player and a defensive wing who's decently coveted, especially in a year where there are so many, contenders on the market for a wing. But yes, your fundamental point that the Lakers value Kuzma higher than most teams around the league do is accurate. And when you combine that with what he's making, it just makes what just happened. All that happened today is that we filled in some of the blanks of an old rumor. I was, being snide about the Ringer, but KOC is solid. That's a good dude who's a good basketball reporter who's in this for the right reasons. And so if he says it, I believe him. But this is something we already knew. We just got more details on. Mm-hmm. So this is from, what, a month ago? And, the Lakers are not going to say yes to a deal like that.
Yeah, at the time, because Bogdanovich's value is, he's a better player than Kuzma, and his value is higher than whatever the Lakers would be able to tie to Kuzma or offer them for Bogdanovich. And so at the time when this rumor first came out, I was kind of taken aback. Wait, it could have been Bogdanovich for Kuzma and the Lakers said no? That kind of struck me as odd. Mm-hmm. And then, the more I thought about it, I thought it was, I think what probably happened here was that the Lakers and Kings were in talks for something else, and then the Lakers countered with, no, give us Bogdanovich. And in that sense, they technically had trade talks, but, for Kuzma and Bogdanovich, they just didn't go anywhere. And based on the holes that O'Connor filled in here, that KOC filled in, that's proven basically at this point to be true, that's how that stuff went down. And the Lakers have the best record in the West. They do have obvious flaws to them, but are one of three legitimate title favorites this year. Contenders, favorites, whatever word you want to use there. A team in the spot that the Lakers are in currently doesn't make completely, huge changes by way of trade unless it's an absolute, no doubt about it, you're trading away 50 cents on the dollar type of deal. And that trade isn't going to be made available to the Lakers because there are no teams out there that want to help the Lakers in that kind of way.
Sure.
So I don't think the Lakers are going to make a trade. I think if they do make a trade, it would be something much, much smaller than most people are kind of thinking. A lot smaller.
Yeah, I think with everything that's happened, just adding Collison and rolling with it, I think that the ideal circumstance is being able to technically cut Boogie, but allow Boogie to rehab and be around the team and just have nothing on a practical standpoint changing for him, right?
Yeah.
Just he's not I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but him coming back and being a contributor by the playoffs would have been remarkable if this was his first major injury to one of his legs. But as number three? Yeah, I just don't think that's a possibility. And the Lakers would have to weigh that. But, ideally, we just, for all practical purposes, add Collison and roll with what we got. After what happened, I just don't see a real way to make bigger changes.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about the game and some of the stuff that we're now starting to see filter out from the Lakers regarding how they're going to approach the season moving forward. So we saw Frank Vogel come out, and he was kind of the first official Lakers voice to kind of step in front of cameras and answer questions about Kobe. And as you would probably imagine, there were some places he didn't want to go. He was asked about, his favorite Kobe memory. He was asked about, just questions you would normally anticipate. And he was able to offer up a little bit, but I think he handled it really well. He didn't want to step on anybody's toes in terms of any kind of message that he put out there.
Mm-hmm.
The day later, we got Vanessa Bryant speaking out and Jeannie Buss gave a statement. Jeannie Buss went to Instagram to make hers, and then Vanessa Bryant made one as well. I'll just read Vanessa's. My girls and I want to thank the millions of people who've shown support and love during this horrific time. Thank you for all the prayers. We definitely need them. We are completely devastated by the sudden loss of my adoring husband, Kobe, the amazing father of our children, and my beautiful, sweet Gianna, a loving, thoughtful, and wonderful daughter, and an amazing sister to Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. We are also devastated for the families who lost their loved ones on Sunday, and we share their grief intimately. There aren't enough words to describe our pain right now. I take comfort in knowing that Kobe and Gigi both knew that they were so deeply loved. We were incredibly blessed to have them in our lives. I wish they were here with us forever. They were our beautiful blessings taken from us too soon. I'm not sure what our lives hold beyond today, and it's impossible to imagine life without them. But we wake up each day trying to keep pushing because Kobe and our baby girl Gigi are shining on us to light the way. Our love for them is endless, and that's to say immeasurable. I just wish I could hug them, kiss them, and bless them, have them here with us forever. Thank you for sharing our joy, your grief, and your support with us. We ask that you grant us the respect and privacy we will need to navigate this new reality. To honor our Team Mamba family, the Mamba Sports Foundation has set up the Mamba on 3 Fund to help support the other families affected by this tragedy. To donate, please go to mambaon3.org. To Kobe and Gianna's legacy in youth sports, please visit mambasportsfoundation.org. Thank you so much for lifting us up in your prayers and for loving Kobe, Gigi, Natalia, Bianca, Capri, and me. Hashtag Mamba, hashtag Mamacita, hashtag Girls Dad, hashtag Daddy's Girls, hashtag Family. A beautiful and painful statement, right? Frankly, it was really hard to get through it. And yeah, if you want to help in any way, shape, or form, mambaon3.org is the place to do so. And then, you know, Jeannie Buss took to Instagram and wrote, Kobe, I don't know how to express what you mean to me. My family and the Los Angeles Lakers. My father loved you like a son, which makes us family. When you invited me to lunch shortly after my father passed away, I was struggling to find motivation and purpose. Kobe, you brought Gianna with you to spend some time with me. You explained that you wanted to show her that women can be leaders in the NBA, just like the men. At first, it seemed like an action of a devoted father setting an example for his daughter, but in actuality, I am positive you knew exactly what you were doing. What you did was give me the inspiration and strength I was searching for. I gotta pull up the rest of this thing. Why isn't it? I'm gonna have to edit this. Reflect on that day often, and it makes me smile and it makes me strong. I call on that memory whenever I feel down and need a bit of courage. For everything you did on the court that filled me with so much joy and love, for all the lives you changed through basketball itself, it was that day with Gigi that reignited my drive and determination. Vanessa, Natalia, Bianca, and Capri, I'm so sorry for your loss. We are grateful to have you in our lives, and we will always be here for you. To the families that lost loved ones on Sunday, the entire Laker family mourns with you. Laker Nation, we are one family grieving the loss of people we all love dearly. We will move. We will mourn together, cry together, but we will also heal together, love together, and win together. We love you, Kobe. That's what you made. That's what made you so unbelievably special. You not only inspired us towards greatness, you showed us the way. To learn more about how you can help families affected by this tragedy, go to mambaon3.org. And to further Kobe and Gianna's legacy in youth sports, visit mambasportsfoundation.org. Hashtag peace, hashtag love, hashtag joy, hashtag family, hashtag Mamba, hashtag Mamacita, hashtag number 2, number 8, and number 24. And then the picture that she accompanied with that message was from the All-Star game, I believe, in Toronto. Yeah. I thought the most poignant and important message to everybody listening was that, and it's something, Pete, you and I have been kind of coming back to a lot, is that, you know, this grieving process is something that we will all be doing together. And it's not something that has a designated end date on it. There was definitely a designated beginning date, but this is something that we're probably going to be feeling for years to come. But I think my favorite aspect of going through all of this, and I say favorite for lack of a better term, because I would prefer that we never had to go through this. But my favorite aspect of watching all this kind of take place was the amount of love that I've seen, not just from, you know, friends who are also Laker fans, not just Laker fans who never knew each other and gave, you know, reach out and showed each other some support over this time, but the entire sports world, the entire world sent a bunch of love in the direction of a lot of people who found themselves kind of looking for inspiration. And I, you know, it's cliche. You wish that you could do this more often without requiring tragedy to show that humanity, but here we are.
I think that Kobe inspired people in life, and I think that it's the intensity of the love and the reaching out that really the intensity of that really has stood out to me.
Yeah.
Because it was an active thing. It wasn't a passive, like, oh, let's just think of this guy in retrospect. But like, a lot of these guys wore 24 or 8 or something as a tribute to Kobe. It was something that they did not need him to die to be inspired by him. But his death did, like, boy, LA, man, like seeing all of the, seeing LA Live and the mariachi bands and just like the people mourning.
That trash can that said, you know what to do, was,
you know what to do.
So good.
Little, you know, someone bringing a goat named Otis in a Kobe shirt, you know, and it just really, it's been cool to see. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but like friends and family that are from out of state or not from LA, they have a certain perception of what the city is.
Yeah.
More and more, the less that they've actually been here, right? That it's all Hollywood and
I'm moving, you know, to Texas. Trust me, I know how people look down on.
Right, that we're fake and that it's all, you know, we're plastic and just not. It's movie stars and just these not. I feel like one of the small things that that's come from this is people seeing what Los Angeles really looks like, if you're paying attention, and just the outpouring of love and support and just man, he just inspired. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I think you talked about the fire and the passion that has been involved with the inspiration that he brought around. And, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about, like, what it was about Kobe that people bought so deeply into. And it's that, like, it's actually pretty simple. We are going to follow you so long as we feel that love is reciprocated. Like, Kobe fans, Laker fans, whatever, there is never a moment watching Kobe on a basketball court where you felt like, you know what, he's not meeting me halfway with his effort tonight. That's not to say that there weren't moments that, you know, he demanded a trade and he demanded that Andrew Bynum be shipped out for Jason Kidd. And he entertained, you know, free agency possibilities. There were moments where, you know, and in those moments, it was fair that, you know, at one point, Laker fans booed Kobe because of the trade demand. Now, by the end of the game, he was getting MVP chance, which again, harkens back to, that's the way that this guy approached the game and approached the relationship with the Laker fan base and his personal fan base. And, you know, I in that respect, I think there's a lot of people who could learn quite a bit about what it was about Kobe that inspired so many, and it was just that he reciprocated the love that he received at every turn he possibly could.
He did. And he reached out to people on a personal level, but he can't reach out to all of us, right?
Yeah.
and the way that he talked to us was through that heart and effort that he gave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have talked about, you know, winning this for Kobe. And God, wouldn't that be the greatest? Like, I'd love that, right, for us to do that. That is not how I view the team, though.
It's not really how this stuff works.
I would love a championship, but all I ask for is their heart.
Yeah.
Just give us your best.
Yeah.
And if that's not good enough, Kobe didn't have 20 championships. He failed plenty. It was about giving everything you have to climb the mountain. Mm-hmm. And that is all I ask for out of this team. And if that ends in a championship, even better, but that is not what I want from them.
The problem with demanding that this team specifically win a championship for Kobe is that there are players on other teams who would be winning said championship potentially for Kobe. You think Giannis wants to win this one for him?
Right.
You know,
there are plenty of people that will be playing. Even Kawhi and Paul George were greatly impacted by him. Like, yeah, everyone's going to be, and whoever gets there is probably going to mention Kobe in that post-game interview after they've won the title, right? We're not the only team going for it. Obviously, it would be best not just in terms of our us being happy with it, but in terms of the story and all of that, blah, 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 blah. Who gives a shit? That would be great if it was Lakers, but that doesn't mean that we're the only ones.
Yeah, or it doesn't mean that we define success by a championship.
Right.
Like, if the Lakers work their asses off, get to a final series, lose that final series in Game 7 on, like, a last-second miracle shot, does that make the season any less successful than it would have? Or does that make us walk away from this feeling like, well, that's a failure, right? No, of course not. What matters is the fact that they did work their asses off, that they did give themselves that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see how things go from here on out. Frank Vogel has said that he feels like, you know, this entire loss has brought the Lakers closer together, which again kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Kuzma. If this kind of thing brings you closer together, you don't then go and trade away a portion of the rotation. Like, that's not the math there doesn't quite equate, I don't think. So we'll see how that thing plays out. We are going to be back. So just a heads up, I am driving out to Texas tonight or tomorrow night. Well, tonight by the time you guys are listening. We are moving our family out there, as I let slip on Twitter. And what that means is that I'm going to try to – we should be out there and fully moved in on Sunday. But you just never know with setting up the internet and all this other stuff. If I'm able to record, if I'm physically able to record, I will find a way to get the podcast up for Monday. But if not – this is why that would take place. Have a great rest of your day. Send those reviews in. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Monday. Whenever.